I'm in Southern Ireland, on the outskirts of Cork, on an idyllic street in a wealthy neighborhood. But the story of financial ruin lurks just around the corner. Not one of these houses is finished. It's as if the builders dropped their tools and walked away in the middle of the project. No one looks out of these windows. A ghostly feeling pervades this place, which is in fact called a ghost estate.
Ireland's ghost estates are a stark symbol of a once rampant property boom and its subsequent bust.
Some estates had one family living in them, maybe 20 houses in the middle of nowhere. It's just crazy, crazy carry on.
I'm just here on the outskirts of Longford town in Glenrearda, speaking to Winnie McDonough. You live in this estate that was a ghost estate, that was unfinished, it's almost finished.
Yeah.
How's it been?
Oh, it's not very nice out here. It's very clotty at times, like very rough and there's lots of rats out here.
There's rats?
Yeah, there's rats in this terrace. Like this terrace, these houses should never be built here. Like there was apartments built at the front
there
here.
There was an apartment block and that was being knocked down,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Yeah, they were being knocked down, but the apartments up here, they should have been knocked down as well. And all these houses should be knocked down.
So how has it been, I suppose, living in a ghost estate with rats?
Oh, not nice. Not very nice at all, to be honest, especially when you have small kids. You're watching your kids to hold them and that. Like, I have the little fella here and I can't let him out. I can't do anything out here because there's rats everywhere.
So, Winnie, in a way, you're one of the leftover people from the crash, from the legacy,
yeah.
Living amongst rats in a ghost estate.
Yeah, to be honest, which I wouldn't like it out here. It's very damp, the apartment I'm living in, and like, it's terrible out here. There's nobody out here to mix with the little fella here or anything, do you know what I mean? And even at that, I wouldn't leave him outside by himself anyway because there's heroin addicts comes up here as well. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't allow me baby outside on his own. Very badly built.
I'm Councillor Seamus Butler, based in the Longford Municipal District. And going back to 2008-2009, we had 128 unfinished estates in County Longford.
128
per capita. I would say by far it's the biggest in the country.
And we're here in Longford at the moment. Bring us back to that time of the mid-noughties when things started to go wrong, 2007, 2008, 2009.
Well, there was an absolute building boom in County Longford because of a tax break, especially for buying new houses. And investors from Dublin, for example, anecdotally, there were people that said, you know, I have four houses in Longford. I've never seen them, but I bought them.
Four houses in Longford?
Yeah, and that's what happened. And they flooded the market absolutely. And then the crash came. And we're left with 128 unfinished, or ghost estates as they used to call them. And this was a huge a problem for Longford County Council. How are we going to get these in? Because the builders are gone, they're bust, the investors are not there.
And they did, they just abandoned site. They just left the buildings half finished and then it became an international story.
Well, I think in 2010 or 2011, I was interviewed by Le Monde. They sent a crew over to Longford.
Wow.
Je parle un peu de français.
My name is Dr. Keane O'Callaghan. I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Geography in the School of Natural Science, Trinity College Dublin. Really what we're kind of dealing with here is coming off the back of the first phase of Celtic Tiger, which was driven by exports and foreign direct investment. That translated then into a construction bubble. And that construction bubble was driven by initial demand for new houses because there's a growing population, but also then increasingly by things like tax breaks, tax incentive schemes, particularly in parts of rural Ireland, so the Upper Shannon region, for example, during a period of kind of early 2000s, 2006, 2007, one in three houses in some of those counties was built during that period.
One in three homes were built.
It's often been built for populations that are maybe, you know, marginally increasing or in decline. And so it's very much speculative that who's going to buy these houses, who's going to live in them. So one of the impacts then at the 2007-2008 crash was that we got the appearance of ghost estates. And really ghost estates appear in the sense that there's, you know, construction activity happening. These are estates that are to be built, estates that are to be populated. And suddenly kind of the workers, developers kind of down tools, and these sites are kind of left half empty or often cases half finished, and became very stark kind of imprint then on the landscape, kind of to see and I suppose experience the crisis.
James Kelly is my name, and I'm a poet and a dreamer. I've been on the streets here in Grafton for about 25 years. I'm flogging my book at the moment, the Donegal Press published it. It's complete poems of over 30 years of my work. I saw many of the estates. In fact, when we were stuck for a place to crash at festivals, we used to move in there with our sleeping bag and we'd hop into a few.
Really, you would squat inside the few.
For a night or two at a festival, if we hadn't a tent or that, you know, like Willie Clancy or the Flag Holes in the one in Sligo or Cavan. These estates are still there and they're in Reckonring. They haven't really been altered, really, you know, because we never had more houses and never had more homeless.
Gustas are a very complex kind of issue, and one reason they became such a big story, I think, at the time was that they became a sort of cultural way to actually ground the very abstract global financial crisis. So what we were dealing with at the time was like this collapse in subprime market in the US, and we were wondering about how that might impact Ireland. And that's very abstract. We're kind of looking at what's the impact on Irish banks, and that's kind of took a while, if you might remember, to kind of figure that out and see what the exposure was. But Gustas estates became a very tangible way in which we could kind of like see that on the landscape.
And
see
visually.
The impact. Visually,
it was, yeah. Because it became an international story. I remember the BBC World Service contacted me about it, and everyone was talking about these Irish ghost estates.
Yeah, exactly, and they're very kind of visually stunning in lots of kind of respects, and it became a metaphor then, I suppose, for the collapse of the Celtic Tiger as well. Also, it became a way then to quantify the crisis, the figure of around 300,000 kind of vacant units at the time, and something in the region of 2,800 unfinished estates as they became classified. So over the period of time, there's been a kind of range of interventions, I suppose, but in the main, the approach from the government has been fairly light touch and kind of left a lot to the market. And so that has kind of like geographically kind of divergent impacts. So in somewhere like Dublin, you know, you would have had a recovery of a lot of these quite quickly, and places that were ghost estates would have been filled up. And, you know, obviously we have a deficit of housing now. We're kind of looking for new kind of housing provision.
We got to grips with it very well in Longford eventually. We formed an unfinished estates team. And we started on these 128. And to date now, we have 117 of those actually either taken in charge or resolved, with 11 with actual plans to bring the last 11 in the next 18 months, we hope, into use. This was a mammoth task. This was making a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And that's what we did in Longford. And that has led now to a regeneration team that are second to none in the country. And Longford town and its environs and the county are a major regeneration with something in the region of 27 million coming into Longford in the next 2 to 3 years.
So what did you do with them? Did you knock them down? Did you finish them off? Did you renovate them? Did you put a fence around them? How did you sort them out? And how will you sort out the last 11?
Well, each one was unique in its own way because they were in different states. Some were finished, but not, for example, no lighting or surface, and they were the easy ones, the low-hanging fruit. But the other ones were much more difficult. There was one estate particularly that the sewers all had to be lifted because they were put in incorrectly. So there was major works there. It was a matter of calling in bonds where the bonds were available. There was a mismatch of those as well, bad practice in the past. We've learnt a lot from this, and going forward, we'll finish the next 11, we hope, in the next 18 months to 2 years, and that's a mammoth task.
In one respect, you could say that the black spot is that we didn't really learn very much lessons in terms of we had a big developmental failure that led to these kind of, you know, massive global story of unfinished estates, vacancy on the landscape, and we didn't really change our approach to how we provide housing and how we plan housing.
For you, what was your greatest memory of the financial crash? Was it the ghost estates?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think initially, yeah, it would have been kind of like unfinished estates, and would have been kind of have strong memories of kind of like in 2010, maybe kind of travelling with colleagues I've worked with in Maynooth to places unfinished estates in Cork and kind of taking photographs, looking at the kind of the landscapes there. And it was a very kind of like stark kind of imprint there of just the sudden kind of collapse. In other respects, then, I think that the impacts of the crisis have kind of wound itself out more slowly. So, I mean, looking back kind of 10 or more years on, I think some of the biggest kind of legacies would be things like the creation of NAMA, for example, which has had a big, very big impact on the built environment in Dublin, for example. The crash also had a very uneven geographic impact kind of economically. So if you think about it, a lot of the areas in the Midlands, for example, would have had very high levels of construction jobs. Those construction jobs were also feeding the wider economy in terms of the service sector, all these kinds of things. And there are people kind of building these houses as well. So when that construction employment collapsed, a lot of that work didn't really come back. And a lot of investment hasn't really returned to those counties and those towns in the same way as it would in Dublin. So one thing we have from the economic crash and recovery, the thing you say about the Celtic Tiger, I suppose, is that it did spread economic benefits for a short period of time, at least, to a large part of the country. What we've had since then is a quite sort of uneven recovery, where we have a lot of economic activity in Dublin and primarily in the main cities, and we have depopulation and decline in a lot of other places as well, and remains a problem.